afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Honest Dialogue with Sonya McGirt. Today, my guest is going to be Damon Naylor. Like I said, he has many gifts that I'm sure you're going to find out when we get on here and we go ahead and connect with him. So, you guys, I'm going to go ahead and welcome him to the show. So, hold on 1 minute. Damon?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me clearly?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Excellent.
Great. Well, welcome to the show.
All right. I'm glad to be here, and thanks again for the opportunity.
Of course. I found you very interesting when I was reading a little bit about yourself. So it was a lot of the things that I'm thriving to do and striving really hard to try and get there. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, and I now live in the northern part of the state in a place called Monroe, Louisiana. And people may not be familiar with that place, but it's like an hour and a half from a place called Shreveport. I know some people are familiar with that place.
Now, how are we not familiar with Monroe? Isn't that where Duck Dynasty is?
Well, it's the other side of the bridge. I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
Gotcha.
Yes, there, West Monroe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Look, my bad. I forgot about the Duck Dynasty and everything and their popularity. But there you go. That's where I am.
Close to there. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. But, yes, and so I came here for college in 1993, and I completed college and received my Bachelor of Arts degree in education. And I served as an educator for 7 years. And then towards the end of my teaching tenure, I just desired to launch out and do entrepreneurship, and I actually wanted to initially pursue the motivational speaking, the music production, and then writing, and that's what I did, and I did that, for like a year or so, and I needed some additional income, and that from that I ended up beginning my janitorial business, and so I've been doing all of those now. The music has probably been the longest since 99, so we're talking about 17 years or so with the music. And I wrote my first book in 05, so we're talking about 11 years or so with that. And actually the speaking probably has been the longest, but as far as pursuing it professionally, I started that in 04, so we're talking about maybe 12 years or so. But that's what I do as far as the skills and the talents, but on a personal side, I'm a husband and a father of 4 sons, so that's a little bit about me.
Okay. Now, you said you're a husband and a father. I'm sure that comes probably right after, well, from my understanding, are you a Christian? Because you're a spiritual life coach. Okay. That's what I thought.
Yes.
So
yes.
Kids and wife come right after God, of course.
That's it.
I know people have a problem with that, though. You know, I mean, I think personally that's why so many marriages are so bad and they have so many problems. And because instead, a lot of us, especially mothers, tend to put our children before our husband.
Oh, yes.
And
the order should be God, then the spouse, then the children. And
that's
basically
right.
the divine order. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
And people have a really hard time with that in submission. So being submissive to your husband is another thing that I know that I struggled with as a woman because I was a single female. So I was really headstrong and from a headstrong family of women.
So I
know that. And I know that with the spiritual life coaching, how long have you been doing that?
Well, I just started that when I basically started my ministry. I launched out in 2003, and I began a TV ministry, a television ministry. And from that, God just gave me the idea to incorporate being a spiritual life coach and offer like 3 different courses or workshops. And, I just kind of help people in their walk, trying to find their destiny. And, you know, I have, like I say, 3 different programs. One is you could have the different segments. I have like a 1 month session, a 3 month session, a half of year session, and then a whole year. And then I have 2 other things. You know, one deals with my book that I just published. And then the other one is helping people to find their dominant gift. And so they can fulfill purpose and destiny by utilizing their dominant gift that God has created and endowed them with. And so we just, try to help people, mentor them spiritually, help them to grow in Christ and grow and find their purpose.
Now, are you in the, I don't want to say religion, I guess it, I should, but I really don't like the word religion a whole lot. But the fivefold ministry type thing, is that what you believe in, or?
Yes, I do. I do believe in the fivefold gift ministry. Yes, yes, it's very important.
Because I know a lot of people don't understand that, too. Yeah, I mean, because some people now, I believe, in the churches think that that doesn't exist anymore. But I do. I personally believe it does.
Oh, no. Look, it's alive and well.
Yes, exactly. Well, the Bible tells us in the New Testament about our gifts and how, you know, at the end of time, people will start prophesizing and all this other kind of stuff. So I believe that definitely there's definitely gifts that each of us have. It's just whether or not we find them and use them. Now, you said something about your book. Tell me a little bit about it, because I know, is it the one that was the, I think it was the Great Taste of Success. Was that it, or is it a different one?
Yes, well, actually, it's a Greater Taste of Success, and that's the second edition.
Okay.
The first one was a Great Taste of Success, and so the second one is a Greater Taste of Success. And what we did with the first one, we just had the Proverbs were kind of, they weren't in any kind of order, but they gave wisdom and insight concerning, like, your destiny, spiritual growth and enhancement, personal development, relationships, and things of that nature. But in a Greater Taste of Success, what I did was organized it, and I created like 7 proverbs for each topic. For instance, we have Christian principles as a topic, and so I have 7 proverbs that deal with Christian principle. Then we have work ethic as a topic. We have perspectives as a topic, leadership skills, and several others. And what we do is we just, God has just inspired us and given us some wisdom to help people in those particular areas, to give them inspiration and also some direction and education, which is basically our platform and our purpose. But that's what that one is, just trying to, an inspirational ebook. But in addition, I also have a book that I just published, which is R3 or Revelation.
I was about to ask you
about
that one. Yeah.
Yeah, and that one is where I just analyze the book of Revelation. There are 14 major concepts found in the book, and the Holy Spirit just literally took me through and broke all of those concepts down and gave me the accurate revelation and interpretation of those different concepts. And that's what that book does. It's just a really good tool for anyone who would like to learn about Revelation, because it's a mysterious book. And if the Holy Spirit really doesn't reveal it and teach it to you clearly, then you'll be confused. And it's a lot of confusion out there, because a lot of people are just studying and doing it on their own, as opposed to God giving them the personal revelation, just like he gave it to John. So.
Yeah, because we actually, I was just on a show not too long ago, and we were discussing the fact about how we tend, or a lot of people tend to, you know, we go to church on Sundays, we listen to our pastor, and we automatically take his word for the truth.
Yes.
And I'm not saying every pastor lies or anything, you know, but they're still men too, in my mind.
Yes.
And so for me, I always have learned to, okay, you always check the word with the Bible.
That's it.
I mean, clearly you want to make sure that pastor is giving you ripe fruit and straight from where it's supposed to be coming from. But now I find Revelation a little interesting, because it can be a little hard to understand for a lot of people. Now, I may have to get that book and read it. Maybe I can have a little bit better understanding, because there's times I've struggled with it. And I believe that sometimes you can read one thing, and if you're going through certain life situations and you read it again, you get something else from it, you know, another word from him that he's trying to get to you. Now, do you mind sharing what your gifts are?
Well, my dominant gift is in the area of communication. And when you analyze everything that I do, it will fall, those things fall under the heading and category of communication. So, for instance, we have the music. I'm a songwriter, and I'm also an artist. So here we have the written word, which is communication, and then we have the spoken word, just accompanied by drum tracks, communication. I'm a speaker, okay, that involves communication. And then I'm a writer of inspirational books, non-fictional books. I write on the blog. I write posts on Facebook, Twitter, and all of that. And that there again, we have communication. So that's my dominant gift. However, I also have a secondary gift, which would be leadership. But, you know, the thing that I know God has called me to is the communication. As long as I stay in that realm and I run in that lane and flow in that vein, I'll be highly successful and can possibly obtain greatness as long as I stay with that. But, for instance, if I were to pursue the leadership, but since that's not my dominant gift, then I wouldn't excel in that area as I am with the communication. Because, like I said, you know, many of us are multi-talented, but the key, like I was telling you with my workshop, I help people to identify that dominant gift. And I can't really give all of the workshop, but I just give a hint. The Lord just revealed to me how you can use the various body parts to determine your area of giftedness. And that's a prime example with me. So my mouth would be like my greatest asset. And, you know, also my brain, but you know, my mouth, the communication, that's what we are, is just so important for me to use.
Well, that might be mine too, because I'm a talker.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Now, but there's been things that, when I took a test that supposedly was similar to that. And one of mine was teacher.
Okay. Okay.
And leader. One of mine was leader.
Good.
I didn't really know what that means.
I just seen it
on, you know, in an email that I received, and I was like, well, let's see what it says, you know. And I was like, I mean, it made a little bit of sense from what I read of it. And so I find that kind of interesting. Now, what do you think about the gifts of discernment and things like that? Are those considered gifts, or are those considered, I don't know what you would consider those.
Yes, those are gifts. For instance, earlier you mentioned the fivefold gift ministry. Those are what you call the office or the service gifts, and you know, or office gifts. And so the ones you're mentioning now are the spiritual gifts, and you have nine of those. And that comes with receiving the Holy Spirit, or even sometimes if people don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling, they can still operate in the spiritual gifts, just tapping into the spirit realm and having faith in Christ. But, you know, those are different gifts as well, and they're used to literally take a lot of things you do into the supernatural, you know. And what I deal with is, like, I would call them, I guess, a form of service gifts, or your you could use them as professional gifts as well. Because everybody's not going to fit into the fivefold ministry, and everybody might not flow in the spiritual gifts. But you can find, basically what I'm teaching and helping people to find is their natural gift. You know, it's really a spiritual endowment, but it's something you do physically and in the natural that will benefit you greatly. And the thing about it is already embedded within your spiritual DNA. God put us into this realm with it already. And if you discover it, oh, man, you're talking about satisfaction, you're talking about happiness, and you're also talking about potential income. It could be either supplemental or a substantial amount of income. But the key to life is finding that, because once you do whatever it is that you pursue in that area, it really won't be work. You know, this right here, this does not work for me. I love this. I love to talk. I love to mentor. I love to teach. I love to inspire. And this is just part of my nature. And with my gift, with the workshop, at the end I give I give a test, and I also give what I call like a survey. And, you know, there are four basic questions I ask, and I give you these. Is the first one is, what are you good at doing, or what are you skilled at doing? And so that would be the category of skill. The second question is, what are you passionate about doing? And that would go under the heading of passion. Now, I ask those questions in that order because sometimes people, they're passionate about something, but they're not skilled at it. And I love to give the example of American Idol. That's where you have an example of that. So many people who can't sing, they love to do it. They're passionate about it, but they have no skill. And it's a shame that their family, their friends allow them to go to American Idol.
And lie to them, like, and tell them, baby, you can
sing.
Go ahead.
There you go. It's to hurt their feeling, you know. And so, and that's what I'm saying. So you have to honestly and objectively look at yourself and say, what am I really skilled at doing? I demonstrate some type of potential proclivity in this area. And so, you know, okay, you get that. And then you ask, what am I passionate about doing? Okay, the third question is, what do I do that others receive satisfaction from? And that will go under the heading of effectiveness. Whatever it is you do that you're skilled at and passionate about doing, and people should receive something. They should receive whatever it is your goal is. If you're an entertainer, they should be there entertained. If you're a teacher, they should learn something. If you're a motivational speaker, they should be motivated and inspired. But it comes a time where you're effective at what it is you're doing. And when you do it, people should be like, girl, that's you, or man, that's you. You know, keep doing that. I love when you do that. And then the final question is, what can you do on a voluntary basis and still be fulfilled and satisfied? In essence, you're volunteering. If there was no paycheck given to you, what could you do that you're skilled, passionate about doing, effective at doing, but not receiving pay, but you will still be satisfied and fulfilled? If you can find something to put in all four of those categories, 9 out of 10 times, that's your dominant gift. And when I analyze my life, the things, especially that I'm doing now, I can put in each of those categories. And not only can I've done it. So, you know, this is a proven strategy that God has helped me to just analyze and extract from my own life. But, I tell you, I kid you not, all of those things with my communication, everything that I'm doing fits perfectly in each of those categories.
When I see, I'm pretty sure I know what mine is. I'm 95% positive, maybe 90.
Okay.
Because
okay.
He's kind of opened doors in those areas, like me writing books me doing this show. I mean, and now I'm going to do a show that's geared towards women and teens.
Good.
Because
good.
For me, I mean, everybody sees religion a little different, but
yeah.
For me, I don't believe in a woman pastor, but I do believe that a woman can evangelize. I believe that she can go around and teach other women,
yeah.
And I believe that she can teach children. I believe she can probably sit up under a man and preach the word. But I don't believe one should be running the church. And, of course, that's just my belief, and it may not be everybody else's, but, you know. And so I want to teach the word. That's something that I know that I want to be a speaker. So when you get through these classes and you figure out your gift, then you got to figure out how to put it into works.
There you go.
That's where I have the problem.
and probably a lot of
other people that listen to this, they, you know, it's like, okay, well, I know what I want to do. My husband, he has a loving heart. He is a, what do you call him? He did that test and I can't even think of the name of it now. He's a giver. I know he gives freely. He helps the homeless, and that's his mission. He loves to do that. But it's a matter of how you actually get started with programs into this. And like you said, you can't do it for free. I mean, you would love to do everything for free if you could. Like you said, you have to have some kind of supplemental income. So my question is, how do you actually put it into action? Do you pray about it and just, you know, do you have any advice on that?
Yes. Well, you most definitely pray about it. And that's one advantage that, you know I have personally is that I clearly hear from God, because he was the one who actually revealed to me all of the different gift things and then gave the opportunities to confirm what he had spoken. And so definitely you want to pray from God, because he will order your steps and lead you and guide you in a direction that you go with it. Because even once you kind of find the gift, you still want the specifics of how you use it. Because, you know, communication, I could have gone many routes, but God, he streamlined it and gave me like a pinpoint and accurate and specific way to do what I'm doing so I could be successful. And one thing I do offer with the course is basically I give a bunch of matching professions that match the various gifts. And so that way you got a list of different things instead of just knowing, okay, you could teach. You know, I give examples of areas that you can use the different giftings and area and callings in. And so, you know, if you can find just a job or something in that area, then it's great. But in addition, what I tell people too, this is another good word of advice. If you can't pursue your dominant gifting in a full-time manner, well, just do it on a part-time manner. You know, just do it in some capacity. That's what I always try to encourage people, because you may have to bring in a substantial amount of income and enough income to pay your bills. You may have to do something that you're really not just crazy about. But at the same time, I always encourage people to do your dominant gift, because that's what God created you to do. And so if you have to volunteer with that while doing a job, then do it like that, because what it becomes is basically it's your ministry, and it ministers not just to others, but it also ministers to you. So if you cut that off and now you're just working a job that you hate, you have no outlet. And that's why people get depressed. That's why people just going overboard, because they're not utilizing those gifts.
Well, see, I was a social worker. I have a master's in social work, and I was a therapist, and I did all that for many years, but it wasn't what I felt like God wanted me to do. And he got me, I was laid off three times. It took me three times to finally go, okay, what is it that you want me to do? Because obviously I'm not in the right thing, because if I was in the right thing, it wouldn't be so complicated. And now my husband went through what you're talking about. He feels like, you know, in 10 years, he's like, I don't want to be doing this anymore. I want to be doing what I feel like God has led me to do. And I'm a true believer. Yeah. If he gives you a little, if he says, okay, here's an opportunity at this church or this facility or whatever, and you do it, I believe that eventually he may make that your full-time job. It's just the process to me of taking what he's giving you a little at a time and go forth with it instead of sitting on it and letting it sit there and get mundane and nothing's happening and you're just like, well, I think that when we get to heaven, we don't get those gems for what we did to make money. I think we get the gems for what he put us our own planet to do. I mean, our plan, his plan. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's all about obedience, you know, obeying his word. Like you said, it's not about the monetary gift or a reward, but it's about obedience, just submitting and fulfilling purpose. That's what it's all about, fulfilling the will of God and his plan for your life. And like you said, it might not be a whole bunch of monetary gain that you receive in this world, but you'll receive the eternal rewards that are connected to all of your labor, just knowing that none of your labor is in vain. But as you were stating, I'm in the same position myself, trying to transition into doing the motivational speaking, the music, and the writing full-time and not having to do the janitorial at all, because I thought this was a short detour, and it turned out to be 10 years, you know? So I was like, wow, God, what happened
there? It's on
his
time,
you know?
And it's definitely not on
there
earth.
There you go.
I've noticed that. I've been laid off of work, and I've applied. And what's crazy is I've applied at jobs and applied and applied. He doesn't open the doors. And I'm okay. And so he's trying to teach me, I feel like, some patience because I've not always been the most patient person.
Well, he'll bring the trials and tribulations to make you get it.
Now, let me ask you this before we don't have a whole lot of time, but I wanted to know, have you found that women, well, I guess it's not, I don't want to say women. I think we are, the devil tries, how can I say this? He causes roadblocks for women that I know that are more physical than men. That's what I've noticed. Like with a lot of women that I've talked to, the devil and his demons, just it's like anxiety creeps up, depression creeps up. To me, to try and keep you from those gifts or what his plan is for you. And a lot of us turn to the medication and this and that, because I guess our faith is so, just so weak at times. I've noticed men, though, are a little more headstrong, or at least my husband is. I wonder if you have any advice for those that are struggling to get there because the devil keeps trying to push them back.
Well, what happens, there's a striking difference between the composition of men and women, and you basically summed it up. What it is, women, you guys are more of heart creatures. You deal with emotions and feelings. Men are head creatures. You say they're headstrong. So just you have to understand the workings and the functions of those two. And as a matter of fact, in my discipleship, the training thing, I have a whole work lesson that I do on the mind, spirit, and soul and body. But what happens, you guys, like I said, are more of a spiritual creatures and soulless creatures, because the spirit and soul, both, they share emotions, and more so the soul. And so, but men, they're more head creatures, and so you're looking at the mind, and you're looking at thinking and reasoning. And what happens, you know, men could look at a situation and they'll reason logically. Okay, does 1 + 1 = 2? Does this make feasible? Is it feasible? Does it make financial sense? Does it make good sense? And if it doesn't, okay, men will kick it off. Women, you guys add it up. It doesn't add up, but you say, I feel like this is the way I need to do it.
And I'm super analytical. I am completely analytical. Yep.
Yeah. And so, and that's the difference between the two. And so what you have to do as women is just try to find that balance, whereas you have to shift and you have to start using your mind more, which I know, like I said, for women, you guys think with your heart, because the heart thinks, it shares thinking with the mind. Just like the soul and the spirit share feeling, the mind and the heart, or the mind and the spirit, they share the thinking and the reasoning. And so what you have to do is just learn how to shift over and start logically thinking, you know. And it's funny because I actually end up dealing with a lot of females and helping them and trying to give them encouragement, because I know how women are wired and how you guys function. And so I'm able to see that. And a lot of times I just feel sorry, because I know in a lot of women, in some instances, you guys just don't have that cutoff. You just can't cut it off. But that instinct is in a man. That's how men can do some of the, I hate to say it, some of the most heinous things. Yeah, and just live on, because men have this ability to numb themselves and cut off and just go all logic and no heart. But women, is like, you guys cannot do it. And it's
hard.
That's what God is put inside of you. That's why you guys are the nurturers. That's why you guys take care of the kids. Because if it were for men, hey, the child is rebellious, disobedient, hey, just cut them off. Give them some more. You know, women, that's my baby. I don't know. I don't care what he did. And, you know, but that's how God designed the two genders, you know.
Now,
but,
with your program, how much does it cost for us to sign up? And make sure you tell us where to sign up, where we can kind of find more information about you and things like that.
Okay. Well, the prices for each program differs. And, you know, for the G3, that's the one dealing with the gift. That's only, if you get all three, it'll be 60. But if not, you know, for each one, if whichever one you want, it'd be like 25 a piece. And then for the R3, which is by revelation, it differs. I would have to get you the chart with, you know, because I broke it down into sessions, and so you can get it either sessions that you would like or the whole program. And then the other one, the D3, like I said, depends on which session you get, if you get the 1 month, 3 month, 6 month, or 12 month. And so, you know, I would send that information to the individual, and they could decide. And, you know, we'll work out something. Like I said, I'm here to work with people, so money won't be the issue. We'll get that part worked out. But the key is, if a person is interested, just reach out to us, and they can find us at darrill.org. And there, that's my most comprehensive website. You'll find all the information on me, and you could there's a contact form on there. But if someone wants to email me, the easiest email is BRODDOG, 75@hotmail.com. That's broad75@hotmail.com. And of course, I'm on Facebook at Damon.Naylor, DAMON.NAILER. And I'm on Twitter at Darrill, DARIL, and the number 1.
All right, great, great. You did great on your social media there. A lot of people will go, because they get pumped. They're like, oh, wait a minute.
So much so. It's just first nature instead of second, actually. So.
Well, I wish you the best, and I am sure that you'll go far because, you know, putting God first, you don't have a choice but to go far. And I thank you so much for being on the show, and I will be keeping up with you.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Sonya, and we thank all of the listeners, and we hope you guys receive something today. But we will definitely stay with it, and we're connected now, so we'll keep in touch. But I believe God has so much in store for you, sis, so hang on.
Thank you.
In a platform, so the best is yet to come.
Thank you so much, Damon.
Okay, thanks
and
again.
You have a great afternoon, okay?
You too, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Damon with us this afternoon, so make sure that you wrote down all of his websites and where you can find him at and his trainings. And I want to thank you guys for listening today, and I hope you enjoy the show, and I'll see you next time.